So, but I heard a missionary speaker give this formula for evangelism. He said PI squared. And he didn't talk about it very much, but he said that was kind of the formula for evangelism that he used. And it was prayer, invest, and invite. And he didn't elaborate on that too much, but that got me interested. I thought that's a neat idea. It's a neat concept. It kind of struck in my heart. So I decided to take that prayer, pray, invest, and invite, and put it into a number of messages to challenge us to reach out to the lost and try to win them for salvation. And I kind of did an introduction to that, and then we spent some time talking about praying for the lost that we would like to see come know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we talked about investing in their lives, and now we're talking about actually going out and inviting. And it's been neat to hear your feedback, as I've heard people say, I've got this person specifically in mind that before my feet hit the floor, I'm praying for them, that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that's got me excited, that people, someone would actually listen and would say, I'm going to pray for that person before my feet hit the floor. That was a tremendous blessing to me, as I've heard people say, I'm praying for a loved one in my family that I'll be able to share the gospel with them. That was so encouraging to me. So as it came to inviting others to Christ, I put together a rough outline of this a while ago, and I had that, and I had most of my outline put together, but this week as I was putting together the final details, I hit a roadblock in my thinking and my preparation. And it was a roadblock I just couldn't get over. I wanted the perfect testimony of someone praying for, investing, and inviting someone to Christ, and just in a simple, everyday way that we would be able to relate to and to come to grips with. And so I even got frustrated, and Michelle was coming over and talking to me, and she was looking at these with me, and I just like, I can't find the perfect testimony that fits what I want to talk about. I found amazing testimonies of what the Lord has done to change people's lives. Amazing, awesome testimonies. Like the testimony of, there's a testimony that just I think about, I probably a week doesn't go by that I don't think about. The testimony of one man that's the father of two of the boys at school. And I've heard his testimony a few times, and every time I do, I think I like cry just because I think about what God did in the life of that man. And to bring him to I've got two boys that are giants. These boys are big, tall boys that I have in a couple of my classes. And they're polite boys, and they love the Lord, and they're well-behaved boys. But then you hear the story of their dad, where he came from. Being a child in Los Angeles, and getting involved with gangs and drugs, and ending up in the prison system for years, and not thinking he would ever get out of that cycle of drugs and prison and drugs and prison. And then God reaching down one day, and man, he's smacking him on the head, and changing his life in a miraculous way. And I was going and reading all these testimonies, and they're all like, oh, this is a great testimony. This is a great testimony. And I said, oh, I think I could use this, and I found like 100 testimonies that I could use on other occasions. But I couldn't find the right one. Maybe you've been studying and preparing for something in your life, and it just seems like you hit that. That was my one roadblock this week, was finding the right testimony. And the closing testimony that I finally came up with, I've just fallen in love with, and I think it fits this whole idea of praying and investing and inviting someone to Christ. But I grabbed another one I'd like to share with you. And this is the testimony of Terry. And it's not, this is Samson's testimony back there. Okay, this is not her testimony that I came up with. This one I grabbed from a resource that I've often gone to find testimonies, and that's I went to Gideon's International, because they've got all these testimonies of just ways that God has used the Scripture, just the Scripture, to win somebody to Christ. You know, just handing out a Bible, and the story of Terry, that's no different. And I think it kind of relates to what we're talking about, this in praying, investing, and inviting someone to Christ. Carrie was a single mother, working so hard to raise her children. And she felt that she was getting nowheres, and she was doing an awful job, and no one cared, and she was all alone in this world, and she was not succeeding in this life. And so one day, Terry went to her closet with a gun in her hand and was prepared to commit suicide. She took the gun and in the last desperation moment of her life, said, "God, if you're real and you don't want me to do this, do something to stop me right now." And God did. And at that moment, her son ran through the front door and said, "Mom, Mom, Mom!" And he was so excited. And he said, he came running to Mom and he said, "Mom," as she kind of hid the gun and went out to see what her son was doing with tears coming down her face, "Look at this. This man brought a Bible to me at school today, and he gave this to me as a gift." And he handed it to his mother. And she said, "Well, I guess God answered my prayer." And God does miraculous, amazing things like that all the time. And I brought that up at the beginning here to say, you know, as we pray and invest and invite, we don't ever know what God is going to do to work these things out. Do you think that as that guy, as he was investing his time and his efforts going out and passing out Bibles, do you think that he knew as he gave this little boy a Bible that that boy was going to take that Bible home to his mom and save his mom's soul, save his mom's life that day? I doubt he had any idea that that's exactly what God's going to do with him. And you take and you pray and you invest your time, you invest your resources, and you invest your life, and you find that we don't even know what God is going to do behind the scenes. Sometimes it's when we do small things, handing out a Bible, praying with someone. Sometimes it's when we give our personal testimony, or we witness, or we have a conversation about politics, or morality, or our faith that might point someone towards Christ. We never know what God's going to use. And I just think about this woman, Terry, whose life was completely changed. And her testimony went on to show how that as she read the Word of God and started going to church, God completely changed her life and her family's life as she met a Christian family and a church family that gave her purpose and meaning and a place she could call home. And she found a Savior that would love her and gave her meaning and purpose in her darkest hour. And I was just so thankful as I read the testimony of Terry. But sharing the gospel, inviting others to faith in Jesus Christ, is an important part of our Christian life. We need to invite people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, it says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, then I have been entrusted with a stewardship." As I read that verse, I see a couple of things. I say, You know, as a believer, this should be an important part of my life, to invite others to Christ. It should be natural. The believer has found something that they are excited about. It should naturally pour out of our life as something that we want to talk about. You know, I think about often as you're walking down the street and talking to people, it doesn't take you too long to find out what people's interests and likes are and desires are and who they are. You know somebody that likes football. After 5 minutes of talking to them, it's what they want to talk about, right? Or you know a grandmother that loves her grandchildren, because after about 2 seconds of talking to them, what they're going to do is start pulling out pictures of their grandchildren and be showing you and telling you about everything that has to do with their grandchildren. As a believer, Jesus Christ should be a big, huge, important part of our life. And if we're a natural believer, a natural part of our life is to talk about our Savior. One of the things I love to talk about, I so enjoy to talk about, is heaven. Because that's my home. And I'm excited about it. And I love it when I'm just sitting around talking to people. There's two times I really love talking to somebody about it. It's when I'm sitting and talking with other believers and we're talking about that place that we can't wait to get to. And we just have that natural conversation. The other one is when I start talking to somebody about it and they get a little bit of an interest piece. They want to hear just a little bit more and they get interested about, well, what is heaven really going to look like? What does the Bible have to say about heaven? And they start asking some questions. Oh, that gets me excited because that's like, you know, trying to sell somebody something. You ever had somebody that they found something in their life that they're excited about and they'd like to get you interested in? They're going to tell you every good thing about that product and everything that's amazing about it. And you're like, oh, I think that person likes those pizzas that they bought at that place or those clothes that they bought at their favorite store. And they like to talk about it. I love to talk about heaven, and when I can tell somebody's a little bit interested in it, I'll get going, and hopefully it'll be hard for me to stop. The second thing that I read in there is it says, this is something that, you know, the first one, it should be natural for a believer. The second one, as I read it, says in verse 16, yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. It says there, woe to those who don't invite. It's kind of selfish if you had tickets to a fancy resort in Florida for tomorrow. If let's say there was somebody here who had 100 tickets to go to Florida, all expense paid vacation tomorrow, and you could take all of us to a fancy resort in that nice warm weather, you know, on the beach and everything, and if you had 100 tickets and you didn't invite the rest of us, that'd be pretty selfish, don't you think? Because how many of us wouldn't love to just, you know, we don't have to stay there in July, but today that sounds pretty good to be in Florida, right? Right, Megan? Sure. That's good, well. Okay, all right, we don't. But we would it'd be very selfish if you had, you know, 100 tickets and you didn't invite anybody. And we have unlimited tickets, free of charge. Won't cost you anything to go to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. And it's pretty selfish of us if we don't invite our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our enemies even, to go to heaven, to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And the last one there, it says in verse 17, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. You will be rewarded if you share the gospel. Don't you remember being a kid and they had those fundraisers at school? And they said, if you sell this many chocolate bars or you did this much, you would get a reward, a prize for doing it. I remember being a kid, and they gave us this box of chocolate bars, and they said, if you sell a bunch of these, you'll get this prize. And the prize, I'm looking at the kids now, and as they're being asked to go sell these things, I'm like, why do these kids even want these prizes? Like, these things don't seem worth it to go out and sell those chocolate bars. But when you're a kid, you say, if you sell 25 chocolate bars, you'll get a prize. I was like, okay. And I remember my parents lived next to Broome Community College. So what I did was I took that box of chocolate bars, and I went next door to Broome Community College, and I went to, like, all the teachers' offices. And I said, would you guys like a chocolate bar? And I just remember there was, like, this nice lady who saw me. She's like, oh, this little, like, 8-year-old boy is selling chocolate bars. And so she took me, like, to all the other teachers. She's like, look at this boy. He's selling chocolate bars for his school. You got to buy one. You got to buy. That was the greatest thing when I was there. It's like, I don't even got to do anything. And that should be the way that we are with selling the gospel, with sharing the gospel. You know, the gospel ought to, if it weren't for the devil and hardening people's heart, this ought to sell itself. This is a whole lot sweeter than a chocolate bar. A whole lot better than a vacation to Florida. A whole lot better than anything that we could win. And it's free. And God says, if you invite others, you will be rewarded for doing that. And it's a reward that's not going to get thrown away in 2 weeks. We need to be excited about sharing our faith. I had a bunch of biblical examples for the topics that I wanted to bring up, but this one got added at the last minute because I was talking about it in Thursday night at our More Than Conquerors Bible study. And that comes from the book of Joshua chapter 2. Let's go over to Joshua chapter 2. In Joshua chapter 2, we have the story of Rahab and how the spies had come to her house and she was going to let them out of the house with that rope. And then they were going to have to go and hide 3 days in the wilderness before they headed home. And the spies told Rahab, they said, if you hang this scarlet cord in your window, you and everyone who is in your house will be spared when the walls of the city come down. And I think about what it says in verse 18 and 19, where it says, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's whole household to your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And think about that and what God said, what the spies said to Rahab here. They said, hang the scarlet cord out of your window, and whoever's in the house when we come back will be spared God's judgment. But whoever's outside of the house, they're on their own. But whoever's inside the house will be spared. Do you think that Rahab took that knowledge and sat on it and didn't tell anybody? I don't think so. I think she told all her family. She said, hey, if you come to my house, the Israelites are going to spare me. Now, I don't know if everybody listened to me. And from what I've read in the scripture, You know, in situations like this, not everybody listens to the messenger. But I'm sure she didn't sit on that knowledge. She didn't say, the Israelites are coming, the walls are coming down. Come to my house, everybody. And that would be natural for her. That'd be normal. If she knew that unless you were in her house, you were in danger, it would be natural for her to say, come on, get in my house. And as it says here, anybody who wasn't in the house, how's it read? His blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. Woe to her if she didn't tell her friends to come into the house. That's what God said to Ezekiel. He said, you've got a message to share. And if you share the message, you've done your job. But you're in trouble, Ezekiel. If you have this news, this message from God, and you don't share it to people. Same goes for Rahab, same goes for us. We have the good news of a home of heaven, of salvation through Jesus Christ. And woe to us if we don't get the message out. And she would be rewarded if she invited people into her house. I'm sure it was all the reward she needed when those walls came down and her family was spared. And when we get to heaven, I have to think that the most precious reward, not the crown of gold, that's great, but I'm sure the most precious reward is if we have a loved one come to know Jesus Christ. And there they are. We're standing around the feet of Jesus singing his praises. And that loved one that we came to know Christ, we just stand there and we reach down and hold their hand and sing praises with them. That'll be great. Then on top of that, God says, I'm going to give you treasures that will last forever. Things that will last for eternity. How amazing is that? Hopefully we've been encouraged this morning to share our faith. It is very, very important for us to invite others to Christ. And as we continue on this thought, let's turn over our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. As I look at this scripture, I said the first one, you know, it's natural for the believer. Woe to those who don't do it, and you'll be rewarded if you did do it. That got me really excited. But as I read this passage of scripture, it said, you know what? As we do share our faith with others, a lot of times it is natural. A lot of times it's exciting, and a lot of times we can do that, but there are also times where it's difficult. When we have the loved one who we know we've shared the gospel with many, many times, and we know they don't want to hear it. Or we think about the fact that they're so far away, they don't want to hear this, they don't want to have anything to do with it. They've rejected when I've shared in the past. I'm afraid that they're going to say that I'm too preachy. And you know when this happens? It's not with someone that we're an acquaintance of or someone that we just like to talk to. Often, this verse here, the one that we cry about, the one that we pray about, comes with someone that we're really, really close to. And someone who we've seen, we know knows our heart. They know where we stand before Jesus Christ, and they've rejected and pushed him away. And when we go to try to share the gospel, they don't want to hear it. But we love that person so much that we want them to come to know Jesus Christ. And we want to try to find a way to bring up the topic, but it's difficult. It's hard. And that's when a verse like 2 Timothy chapter 2 comes into play. It says in verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Somebody who's opposed to our faith. And somebody who maybe doesn't want to hear. How do we live out this verse and in humility correct those who are in opposition? Say, what you are doing is morally wrong, and this will lead to destruction in your life. And you need the salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. This verse is a lot, it touches a lot closer and deeper in the heart. And this one's kind of a difficult one to live out and something that we need to be praying about. But we need to read that next phrase. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. That's where we really need to put this formula to use. Pray, confess, and at the right time, in humility, pointing them towards the Savior. So that maybe, perhaps, God will point them towards repentance. The person who is lost and going the wrong way, they need repentance. And can we, say, God, show us the moment where we can put in the right word at the right time that perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. There's a phrase that's going to fit. I told you I found the right testimony of salvation in someone's life. And I'm going to share that. I knew I wasn't going to get to it this week as I was looking at this, but at the end of that testimony, I can't wait to share that testimony with you. The person's, the last thing that they said was, I went looking for the truth and he found me. And as I look at this verse, so that they may know the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he can make a big difference. And that last one, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having taken captive by him to do his will. I think that's what the world wants to do. The devil wants to do. What sin wants to do is to take us captive and keep us in the dark and keep us from seeing the truth. They need to escape the snare of the devil. That our society, and I don't know what you think about this, but our society, I feel today, has some sort of obsession with like zombies. It seems like every day, like some kid will come in to school and they'll be like, oh, this zombie, I don't want to hear about it. Like these undead people walking around, and our society seems to be obsessed with that today. As I read this verse and I read that they may come to their senses, escaping the snare of the devil. When I think about what the Bible says about the lost, being stuck in the snare of the devil. I just see people walking around blind to the truth, mindlessly. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to be alive. He wants us to have new life in Christ, be born again. That's what the scriptures are all about. And when I see that, that just breaks my heart, because that's where the devil wants you. Walking around mindlessly. And I don't want any part of that. I want to be alive in Jesus Christ. I want to know my future's in heaven. And I want to look at these people who are walking around trapped in sin. Sin, all of it, is addictive and it ensnares. And the people, some people don't want to get out of it. And I want to, in humility, at the right time, correcting those who are in opposition and point them to the truth of the Savior. I want people to start looking for the truth and for the truth to find them. Let's pray.